Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
To the Lord, make it a practice of always consciously talking to the Lord. Pour your heart to Him, honor Him, love Him. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you for your love, thank you for your kindness, thank you for your mercies. They are new every morning. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, how we love you. We bless you. All we have and all we are a function of your love and mercy. Your faithfulness has kept us. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. God bless you.
Thank you, choir. You sing some songs, your heart becomes charged. Demons will just run. You are just singing, the house is charging up, as though you prayed in tongues for 10 hours. This is one of the ways I get myself filled with the Holy Ghost. So nothing takes you unawares. And that's why the Church of Christ is a body. Different people bringing special things on the table. Praise God. Tonight, we are going to continue with our prosperity series. I thought somebody would be excited. Can you imagine? You don't want to prosper? We continue. The Lord is insisting I deal with this subject extensively. At first, I was wondering, why is this so important? People are hungry for God. Let's teach about the dimensions of the Spirit. And the Lord was drawing my attention. And as I share, I will explain some things. It's possible to interact with God and connect to heaven every day, but earth will be hell for you. And if the devil succeeds in putting you at that corner where you love God with all your heart, but earth is not favorable, after a while you discover it will begin to affect your fellowship with God. These guys know these things. They've been on earth for a long time. They know man. And so God, the Bible said, has not called the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. He is also mindful of our prosperity. He said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. So he's talking about prosperity of the soul, prosperity of the body, and circumstantial prosperity. And so it's important for the body of Christ to be taught the ways of the kingdom that makes for prosperity. And I told you when I started teaching on the first night that there are two ways of accessing prosperity in this kingdom. There is a channel of labor, and it's also very important because work is actually not toiling. The word work is the word ergon. It means to become. And so when God allows us to walk, it's because through walking, He helps us to know Him better and to become everything He intends us to become. And so while Paul was teaching in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10, he said, if a man does not walk, let him not eat. So God does not encourage laziness. He said, with this my hands, I labored. So Paul walked, Paul labored. He never encouraged it. The Lord himself never encouraged it. And nobody who understands the ways of God will encourage it. However, in addition to working hard, there is a supernatural aspect of prosperity. Because it is the business of every spirit to prosper their agents. So they become more effective in advancing their purposes on the face of the earth. He said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, that you may establish his covenant which he had with your fathers even unto this day. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. So it is the business of spirits to prosper. In fact, he said that it is the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. That means God is not the only spirit in the business of prospering. The only difference is that when God prospers, he doesn't add sorrow. But there are other spirits that are also able to prosper you. And so when they prosper you, materially you will increase, but eventually you will journey in their direction. Because prosperity is soulish, bodily, and circumstantially. So if a spirit is prospering you, without every contradiction, you will become like that spirit. Because the prosperity will not only manifest in material things. Your soul will think at its frequency and it will live out its purpose and its character. If you study the book of Matthew chapter 4 and the book of Luke chapter 4, when the devil came to Jesus, he said, bow down to me. I will give you all the glories of the earth. So God is not the only one that prospers. Even the devil prospers. The only thing is when God is prospering you, you will know him more. You will become more like him. And then your body will be in health and your circumstances will increase. When a demonic spirit is prospering you, you will grow in wickedness and treachery, mischievity of all sorts, because you are growing in the direction of that spirit. And it will also affect your body negatively. Eventually, you will discover that issues like high blood pressure, cancer, all forms of sickness will come in because the ways of that spirit will be consistent with its nature. Materially, both will be blessed, but soulishly, we will travel in different directions. And so the point here is that God is not the only one that prospers. However, when God prospers you, he will not add any sorrow to it. So you will become more and more like God. This is why we are taking our time to study this subject. And if you followed us carefully, the first session we had was prosperity by worship. And so I gave you the protocol from Matthew chapter 6. If you study from verse 24, you are going to see the four protocols that Jesus taught us as a way of routing supernatural prosperity. Number one, he said you cannot serve two masters. He said you either love one and hate the other. It's impossible to serve God and mammon. So Jesus decided to reveal to us the two spirits that prosper in this kingdom. On the side of God, he is the captain of prosperity. And on the demonic side, it's the God of commerce. So he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. So the first thing under the protocol of prosperity by worship is a dogged loyalty to God. And that's why we call it prosperity by worship. Because when you study it, the subject is all about loyalty. So as you commit yourself to God, there is a part that will translate not just to soulish knowing of God, but also material explosion. So we don't serve God in vain. Number two thing Jesus revealed to us was to trust in God. To put your confidence in God. He said the birds of the air, he said they neither labor to gather into barns. He said, but Solomon in all his riches is not as beautiful as one of them. So the second thing God taught under prosperity by worship is to put all your trust in God. And I told you, one of the ways you show God that you trust him is in your obedience to him. Because many times when God wants to check your trust, he will put you on a long journey. I started learning this way back in the university. And the Lord would tell me, give 100 naira for offering. And then we used to have so much. In fact, when we say we are loaded, you need to understand what we are saying. Because loaded means the pocket is empty, but we are claiming everything we have in Christ. And so 100 naira was a body. But that was how God taught me. And I kept... Point came, I broke through. So breakthrough is not when your bank account is full. Breakthrough is when you are able to trust God. No matter the instruction he gives you, you are able to keep it. And so that becomes the second thing on the protocol. And I said the third thing is the command of God to us that we should be at peace. Matthew 6:25, he said, take no thought. That means while you are obeying him, in choosing him, and in following him, he said, don't allow anxiety come into your heart. So the third thing that shows your dogged loyalty to God is that your confidence has been built like Mount Zion. So whether you have or you don't have, you are not moved. You are like Paul that have known how to abound and to abase. And then finally, in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added unto you. So it begins with choosing God, then trusting in God, then being at peace because you trust God, then committing your resources for the advancement of God's kingdom. When God sees this, he now said, everything that the hard workers seek, he said, that thing will now be added to you. And that's why I showed you four channels that God activates when you complete this circuit. I said, number one is divine direction. Find out everybody who is genuinely prosperous. He will tell you, beyond the work he's doing, the power that gave him that wealth is divine direction. He can be at home and God will wake him up and say, invest in this business. And he will invest in it and have a return that nobody in his rank will have. Not because he's the only one that knows the business, but the power, the all-knowing power of God, selected every outcome and chose the best for him. So his ability to pick the frequency of God is what makes him prosperous. Number two, I said, is divine multiplication. There's a mystery that God puts on those who serve him that anything they touch prospers. Even they can't explain how. And that is where you see the excellency of a spirit. When a spirit wants to show you his power, he may not tell you to do what everybody's doing. He can tell you, go and sell pure water. And then you will be shocked the outcome of selling pure water. And you will not believe it. It's the power of multiplication. That's the power Jesus displayed in John chapter 6 from verse 11 to 17. When he needed to feed 5,000 men. There was nowhere food could come enough to satisfy these people. But the Bible said Jesus thanked the Father. And as he broke the bread, he gave them. As they were breaking, the bread kept multiplying. It's a power that God puts on those who follow him. And that's why in Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law doth he meditate day and night. He said he's like the tree planted by the rivers of living water. He said his leaf never wither, and it produces its fruit in its season. So there is an abundance economy that God brings you into that causes everything you touch to begin to multiply. That is what will bring prosperity to your life. And then number three, I said what God will begin to do is that he will give you wisdom. Wisdom for witty inventions. You will be shocked that a simple thought comes to mind and that thought translates to something superfluous, something extraordinary that brings so much wealth that yourself knows that with all your certificate put together, you can't generate. We have strange testimonies, but sometimes I don't want to get too distracted because I want people to learn the principle and apply it. Testimonies encourage us, it glorifies God. But if we don't know the principles, only few who are applying will be prospering. When wisdom comes, the excellency of wisdom are the things it creates. He said, before God created the deep, I was with him. So the power of wisdom is in his creative force. That's why I say wisdom is justified by her children. And so when God puts wisdom on you, you will become a problem solver. So your prosperity will be tied to the need of society. What others complain about becomes where you display the excellency of God. That's what wisdom enables you to do. And finally, I said, God will give you favor. Favor is the instrument of the Spirit that creates wealth transfer. He said, the wealth of the Gentiles shall be transferred. There is an economy in the Spirit that causes wealth to navigate in the direction of the righteous. That thing happens when favor is on you. And so I showed you from Exodus 12:36, the Bible said that God gave favor to the Israelites and they spoiled the Egyptians. How can people who have been in captivity for at least 400 years, because they were in Egypt for 430 years, after Joseph died, they entered captivity. How can people who are in captivity for 400 years suddenly go to their masters and say, give me your diamond, give me your gold? Is the guy blind? What happened? Favor has come. And so when favor comes upon you, things travel your direction because the loyalty of men suddenly is committed to you. And they don't know why they begin to suddenly transfer resources in your direction. These are four major things God uses to prosper his children. But before God can bring you here, your dogged submission and loyalty to God must be without question or argument. That's why I said to seek ye first the kingdom. And I said at that level, you become a divine trust fund. And to show you that what we are saying here is not lecture, there are terrible testimonies we are recording already. A brother called me, he just finished from service. And we're saying, okay, we'll try to work out accommodation for him and all of that. And then he called me and said, somebody wants to give me a house. He said, I said, no, they don't give people houses in Abuja. One of the most lucrative businesses in Abuja is real estate. In fact, if the government begins to work, one quick thing they will do quickly in Abuja is to regulate real estate. Because what they do in real estate is crazy. People just decide, if they sleep and wake up, any amount of money they like, they will attach it to the house. And if you like, refuse, somebody else will rent it the next day. We went somewhere to get a property, and when they caught the money, I said, come on, this is unreasonable. We got angry and left. By the time we caught the next day, they said, sorry, the house is taken. So in Abuja, you don't get angry, negotiate quickly. If you get angry, somebody else will pick it. Abuja is where they build a duplex. They separate the down from the up. And the BQ2 that is part of the down, they rent three of them out separately. And you will be angry, but you'll be shocked that they will rent that house. They don't dash people houses. What happened? He said they brought money to pay. The person said, no, God told me to give you the house. That's why we teach these things. See, there are services where the kind of anointing that moves stimulates you for transformation. So you are hearing, you start praying in tongues, you fall under the power. There are other services that the anointing goes into your circumstance. You may not feel anything, but your circumstance is under the power. This is one of the services where the anointing goes to your circumstance. You may not be feeling. Some of you might even doze off. But you will go out and discover things will begin to happen. It's the finger of God. Another brother called me by divine wisdom. He created an app. And when he told me about it, I said, okay, that's the first level. It's called wisdom. Now we pray over it for visibility. Let this one go viral. 1 week later, in this month though, that we are teaching prosperity, a company called him from the U.S. and said, we have seen your app. We want to buy a share in it. And so he opened two accounts, GTB and Access Bank. The share they want to buy is for $300,000. Do the conversion. Now, that is where they are starting from. Now, this is somebody who is just living his life. All of a sudden, wisdom came. You create something, and then the first point of reference is from America. And then they are starting with $300,000. That's over 200 million. Which job pays that? It's called supernatural prosperity. As you begin to submit yourself to God doggedly, then God converts you to his trust fund. So he channels the money to you so that he can spend. Men spend the resources of heaven. God spends the resources of earth. So when you trust God, it's called faith. When God trusts you, it's called faithfulness. So when God prospers men, those men are his divine trust fund. Anytime he wants to do something, he will stretch hand and give a command. It will be done. Those are the kind of people he empowers like this. Another man met me and said, there was a land I tried selling 10 years ago. I couldn't sell it. And he's a politician. He wants to go and do some things. And when he heard the word, he caught it. And as he went, before he came back the next week, they sold the land for 25 million. He said, wait, I just came to tell you because I want to sow the tithe. But what is happening now is strange. He had entered a miraculous dimension because things that look difficult suddenly began to change. Because when you catch the revelation, the angels begin to walk. The angels will not walk until you catch it. That's why you need to pay attention. These things are not, they are not lectures. A boy who is in 200 level, they've been on strike. And when he saw that the government was unreasonable, he didn't know what to do. Suddenly he caught a word. And as we speak, he has gotten a keke napep. This is somebody who was doing shoe shining. He used to get sometimes 1.5 in a day. They sell keke napep for like 600,000. Miraculously, keke napep came. So it's not for those who are positioned in society. It's for anybody who can believe. It's called supernatural prosperity. And so I said, when a spirit and the spirit of God wants to prosper you, the first thing he will do is that he will carry you through a route to see if he can trust you. If he can trust you with money, then go and sleep. You become his trust fund. He can route every means to bring the money to you so that through you, he can fulfill his agenda. Number two kind of prosperity we looked at is what I call prosperity by consecration. And the reason we dealt with this was because we were able to explain from scriptures that there are demonic spirits that pull men down. They are called patterns of the bloodline. Even if you are born again, if you have not dealt with consecration matters of your bloodline, you will discover that you are born again speaking in tongues, but a spirit can alter your season if you stay under the patterns of the bloodline. And so I told you that there are certain families that the weakness of their grandfather is immorality. The weakness of their father is immorality. Their own weakness too is immorality. That is a gate in the spirit. Princes in darkness know it. They don't. That one doesn't have regard for being born again. That's why they came to Jesus. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. The author of salvation, they came to him. Because if they find something in you, that will become a legality in the spirit realm. There are certain families that their challenge is divorce. The grandfather divorced. The father divorced. He is at the verge of divorce. He doesn't know that there is an economy in darkness that is working. There are certain other families that the issue has to do with pride. Unnecessary pride. So when a door is about to open, the pride, they will stare the pride. They will wake up. Is it me that they are talking to like this? I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I don't need anybody. He will now discover that his life is a cycle. His pride keeps denying him of his season. So when God wants to prosper you, the second thing he does is that he introduces you to consecrations that will break the patterns of the bloodline. Let me talk to you about these spirits for 5 minutes before I enter my message. If you study the cadre of the spirit realm, there are six orders that is above demons. Demons are messengers in the spirit realm, the negative supernatural. But above demons, there are six other cadres. If you study Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, and you study Colossians chapter 1, from verse 15 to verse 17, you are going to see the structure of the spirit realm. The Bible said Jesus is the first begotten from Colossians. Let's do Colossians. I want to show you something so that you know that this subject is highly spiritual. It's not just to say I'm looking for a job. Maybe the reason you've not found that job for 10 years is because a being in the spirit is changing your movement every time you should enter your opportune place. And the reason he has that level of authority over you is because you opened a door through an addiction. That's why Paul was teaching in Ephesians 4:27. He said, giving no place to the devil. He said, let's start from Colossians 1 verse 15. I want to show you something that is happening in the world now. Colossians 1 verse 15. It said, for speaking about Christ, it said, who is the image of the invincible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then he went further to tell you creatures. Because you think creatures are men. You think all there is about creatures are goats and cattle. And then he said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Because creatures are in heaven and on earth. Visible and invincible. Because they are also invincible creatures. And he said, whether they be thrones. So a throne is not a chair. A throne is a prince in the spirit. He said dominions. A dominion is a prince in the spirit. And then he said principalities. He now stopped there. After principalities and powers, he stopped. Paul took the list over in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 12. He took it from principalities and powers. He now went to the rulers of the darkness of this world. And he now went to spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So the structure of the spirit realm after God are thrones. After thrones, they are dominions. After dominions, they are principalities. After principalities, they are powers. After powers, they are rulers of the darkness of this world. And after rulers of darkness, they are spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. When a dominion wants to extend the frontiers. Oh, I wish we understand kingdom. I was studying last night about the rise of the United Kingdom. And I was seeing how they were conquering territories. See, in the era of thrones, the glory of kings are the territories they cover. And so the reason kings invest in the might of the army is for territories. Because the glory of a throne is the king, where is the territory where he enforces his dominion. Are you with me? Now, when these guys want to rule, the messengers begin from principalities. And so what they do is that they allocate territories to principalities. When a principality comes into a territory, he will now structure the territory in such a way that people are grouped into tribes that they can come and take over. And the way they choose tribes is not by the physical language you speak. It's by the nature, the structure of your soul. And so for people who are prophetic, they are sensitive to the spiritual realm. So when a principality comes, he will group them into tribes. The people who are apostolic in nature, they are authoritarians. So naturally, even if they are among friends, they will be the alpha male. It's not because they force it. It is the kind of authority that is on their lives. And so when principalities come, they survey the territory and find out the possible tribes that can be formed out of that territory. The moment they do that, they hand over the job to powers. And so the job of powers is to find out the weaknesses of these people. And then he creates a kind of temptation. He buffets a temptation to them. And when he finds their weaknesses, he addicts them to those weaknesses. They have become slaves. Now that they have been addicted, then the spiritual wickedness, the rulers of darkness comes. What the rulers of darkness comes to do is that they write laws. Because the world is magistrate in the spirit. They write laws. So they will now tell you that every 4 months, commit immorality. That's a law. They've written it for your soul. On the 4th month, you will find yourself fall. You will go and cry, wake up. When you finish that biochemical process, you will not know that there's a law. You will now feel okay. You will join the prayer band again. When it gets to 2 months, you will now see a fair lady. You'll start talking. When it gets to 3.5 months, the energy has risen in your soul. By 4 months, you will complete your program. You will go to the bed again, come back and cry. Because that law is regulating you, you are a servant of that spirit. There's nothing you can do to prosper. Unless you enter an agreement with that spirit and he prospers you by his own terms. When he's done with you and you are no longer relevant for their agenda, then they will leave you for the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world, the way they work is that they work with agents. In the era of thrones, kingdoms are built by warlocks and sorcerers. How many of you watch Merlin? That's how kingdoms are built. Those kinds of people, they are the ones that work with the rulers of the darkness of this world. What they do is that they bring spiritual legislation over the territory. Most of them are represented by men. That's why when you rise in a corridor for to a very high level, you will discover that wickedness will take over your soul if you are not of God. The economic giants of the world today, one of the ways they want to address world problem is by killing 1/3 of the world population. That's an intelligent idea that they found because they felt that competition in the world is too much. The practicals they carried out was they kept a chair, and in 1940 only one person sat on the chair. In 1950, three people sat on the chair. In 1960, nine people sat on the chair. In 1970, 12 people sat. When they came to 2020, there were over 30 people on the chair. They now said the resources of the earth are not increasing, but the consumers are increasing. So if you want to solve the problem of the world, reduce the consumer, since the resources are constant. That is intelligence. But it's from darkness, because it's wickedness that sponsors it. And the reason such things can happen is because they are warlocks, they are astrologers, they are enchanters that work with these men to control their mind. That's why students can be on strike for close to 1 year. Nobody cares. Now that we are entering the next phase of election, they want to politicize it. Because the wisdom that is regulating them has latched up to their appetites, their greed, their self-centeredness. And the people who regulate these things are called warlocks. They work with the rulers of the darkness of this world to enslave the world. And so you may think you are just trolling and you are a fine boy. You arrange your beers. You say, you are a player. You are a player. Some even brag and say, no gear can resist me. When they finish, they will snap on their birthday and put their chest like this. They don't know that they are slaves, warlocks, and manipulating them. The guy saves money. He wants to go to Dubai. And then when he's on the beach, he's wearing a white garment and he's strolling like this. Hello. He's going to look for Caucasian ladies. And he calls that joy and pleasure. His family can even be wrecked because of that. And he says, forget it. I'm doing well. No, you are a slave. That's how the world is regulated, by principalities. But you see, after the realm of principalities, there are dominions. The reason dominions send principalities is because principalities don't have territories. So they tell them, if you want to be relevant in the kingdom, you have to go and create a tribe so that it becomes your territory. But a dominion has territory. A dominion is higher than a principality. It's not looking for a territory. He just wants to conquer more to increase his rank. If you study Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, it said everybody that walks in disobedience is under the prince of the power of the air. That's a dominion. The air is his realm. And that's why you can come to a place, if you breathe the air there, after 3 months, you will fall to the iniquity there. You will know that there are different energy, because when the spirit superimposes into it an atmosphere, it manipulates. See, the rays that are moving in this world are now corrupt. This service that we are sitting calmly like this, there is a level this service will get to. The air here will become charged. That means the Holy Spirit has seized this atmosphere. A man can walk in immediately and be slain under the anointing. A man can walk in immediately and begin to speak in tongues. The same way, if you enter a family where a husband and wife quarreled, they can see you and say, honey, they are pretending. when you enter the room, you will know that the energy in this room is different. Because they manipulate atmospheres. So what dominions do is that they possess realms. And one of the realms that dominions possess is the power of the air. What it means is that every frequency that transmits, there are spirits that own them. Those are not principalities. Hope you know, when God created Adam, he created him as a dominion. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. The word in Hebrew is radar. In the Greek, is kuriotes. That's why Adam was given the earth as his realm. Adam is not a principality. Adam is a dominion. But even above a dominion, there are thrones. The archangels in heaven are dominions. That's why they rule the different angelic quadrant. Gabriel rules one third of the angel. Michael rules one third of the angel. Lucifer rules one third of the angel. Because every dominion has a territory. And so why they are called archangels is because they had a quadrant in the spirit realm. So they are dominions. But a point came, one of the dominions said, no, I want to become a throne. And in Isaiah 14, from verse 12 to 14, he said, I will exalt my throne and become like the Most High. He wants to ascend above the other dominions so that he will no longer function at a level where one third of the angels bow to him. He becomes a lawgiver. That's who a throne is. Why a dominion is a lord? A throne is a lawgiver. A throne is almost like a god. The reason is because God is not part of creation. The administrative structure that God creates in creation is such that thrones rule creation. And if you enter the courtroom in the heaven, as from Revelation chapter 4, you will see that when John was caught to heaven, he met 24 thrones. Those are not dominions. Those are lawgivers. They custode the secrets of God over a generation. And so what thrones do is that they co-rule with God. And that's why their job is intimacy with the Holy Spirit. When John came to heaven, he said, I saw 24 thrones, and upon it are 24 elders. These ones have come to the highest level of rulership in heaven. What am I trying to say? The kingdom is a game of rulership. And one of the territories that spirits occupy are men. And when a spirit occupies you, what he will use to rule you are the kinds of addictions that regulate you. And so when God wants to break you from the influence of a spirit, poverty being one of such influence, is that God will bring you into cycles of consecrations. Because consecration is the sign that you have rebelled against a spirit and you have aligned with another spirit. Because a ruler of darkness, a spiritual wickedness, works under a ruler of darkness. A ruler of darkness works under a power. A power works under a principality, and a principality works under a dominion. And there are many dominions in darkness. What they want to do is to conquer the earth realm so that they can impart their ways into men. So when you come to certain places, you find destruction. That is Abaddon. When you come to certain places, you find the love of money. That is Mammon. They are dominions taken over by the agency of principality. So when you are in a kingdom ruled by a dominion in darkness, there's nothing you can do to prosper. There is nothing. And the way those dominions know that you are a citizen of their kingdom is not by what you say only. It's by the kinds of addictions that rule you. That's why I said, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. You may be born again, but you are under the influence of a dominion. So when God wants to prosper you, the first thing God will do is that he will come and give you consecrations. If he finds that your heart and your soul has gone in the direction of money, he may tell you that for the next 1 year, sow 80% of every money that comes to your hand. It's not about a church. They are trying to de-citizen you from a kingdom and enroll you into another kingdom. If God finds out that your crisis is lost, he may tell you, In the next 1 year, go and live under somebody. And you are there. The person wakes up in the morning. He shouts at you. After 3 days, you now tell yourself, what is wrong with this person? Is it because I came here? My auntie is a deputy governor. If you live without your auntie, you will die in darkness. It's not about who you know. It's about the citizen of the country you belong. You belong to a dominion. And God is trying to break the powers that dominion has over your soul. And so, you may be there telling God that every day they are oppressing me. They don't even give me food to eat. God will keep quiet. What they are talking about here is superior to food. We are talking about your soul. We are talking about giving you relevance in a kingdom where you were created to co-inherit with Christ. And so many times, God will allow either trials or tribulations or offenses to break you into a consecration. There are many people who will never build a consecration until tribulations come, until trials come, until offenses come. And when that trial puts them in a tight angle, they will now seek the other dominion that is in the spheres of light. And when that dominion opens its light towards you, what it will do is consecration. It won't begin with a promise. And sometimes it will put you in a narrow way for a long time. At the end of the day, when you are done, you will come out like gold that has been tried in fire. At that point, that spirit can now invest its resources in your life. So the second way to journey into prosperity is by consecration. The reason people hear all the gospel about principles and they don't prosper is because principle is the last when you are dealing with prosperity. When you are dealing with prosperity, you'll begin with worship. Because that's the zenith of existence, that your life should give glory to God. And then you come to consecration, is a quality assurance unit. And then you come to the third part, which I'll deal with tonight. Then you come to prophecy. Then you come to principles. Principles are the last in prosperity. But many times, when we want to teach people prosperity, we begin them from principle and prophecy. I can come here and begin to prophesy over you, doors will open. That door that opens to you will be the reason you go to hell. Because doors open to some people, the first thing they thought of was to open a nightclub. And they started selling dry gin in that nightclub. Even their children that is 2 years old followed them to nightclub. Because a prophecy opened the door to a man that has not known consecration. And there are some who begin prosperity from principles. Give, it shall be given unto you. It is true. But when it is given unto you to a level, you will not know God anymore. And so when God genuinely wants to prosper men, there are five cadres. There is the realm of worship. We call it prosperity by worship. At that level, you become a divine trust fund. We have prosperity by consecration. At that level, you become a servant of God. We have prosperity by the blood. At that level, you become a warrior. Because there are certain prosperity that you will take by fighting. That's what I want to teach today. Prosperity by the blood. You war into your wealth. And then there's a prosperity by prophecy. And then there's a prosperity by principles. These are the five cadres of spiritual prosperity. But for tonight, let's look at the blood. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's somebody God wants to lift from obscurity. I want to teach on the blood, but I need to use a prophetic trumpet to break somebody out of something. There's a power holding somebody down. There's a fire about to come upon you now to break that power. Ushers, you will bring that one person that the hand of God will come upon now. In the name of Jesus, every force holding you down, I break it right now. Come out of that pit. Shate Karabana. Hale, hale, hale. I break that spell. I break that yoke. The powers that held you down. Come out of it. Dariana, Barak, Toma, Kizo, Patila. Hale, hale, hale. Yote. Berelana. Hale, hale. Hale, hale.
Hale.
There are cases. This is an emergency case. If we wait for them to understand, they may be cut off. The hand of God comes upon you tonight. Help me, Pastor Victor. Hallelujah. 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 There's a covering cast over someone here. You walk with your hand and diligently, very diligently, but nothing seems to be opening because there is a covering cast. I speak over you now by the power of the resurrected Christ. Everything covering you in the name of Jesus, break now. It's not necessarily what you do that prospers you. That thing you are doing and prospering, there are more than 1,000 persons doing it that are in obscurity. It takes the hand of God. You will not walk out of this auditorium except as the hand of God comes upon you tonight. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace. Thank you, Father. Please sit down for a moment. Your lives will never remain the same again. He said, when the Lord shall turn again the captivity of Zion. Occupation didn't change. It was captivity that was addressed. He said, we were like them that dream dreams. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Somebody met me 3 days ago.
struggling for 7 years until God stepped in. Same job, 7 years not prospering, but in the last 3-4 months, gained what he had not gained in 7 years. As at the time we were speaking, where's your shop? He said, which branch? Which branch? What was not achievable in 7 years was achieved in months. Which branch? He said, there are 3 of them now. And as he's talking, he's overwhelmed with customers from Lagos. Perhaps they're about to extend their tentacles. Everything limiting your prosperity, in the name of Jesus, they go down now. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. They say 2% of the world controls the wealth of the world. I don't know about you, but come what may, I must become part of that 2%. I don't know about you, because there are humongous agenda to be sponsored. I'm not planning to be part of the poor. I'm not planning to be part of those seeking help. I want to be a help big giver. I don't pity myself. And that's why when I talk to people, I talk to them hard. Wake up! Pity takes nobody anywhere. I'm not planning to be part of those that will be needing help. He said, be not weary in well doing. You have the power and the capacity to do. And that's the realm somebody is coming in tonight. In the name of Jesus. I wish I was teaching on prophecy tonight. There's a river flowing. There's a river. There's a water flowing. It's carrying treasures. 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 All kinds of treasures. Some are oils. Oils that provoke wealth. Some are giftings, talents, dimensions that opens the gate of wealth. My God. Taka taka. Ragias, Gagash, Tetelia, Susani, Bakakaro, Dagatatina Sakata, Oleske, Ayana, Barate, Elo, Safare, Zazone, Kalatana, Raila, Raila, Salele, Yekemano, Sagate, Zeta, Sahida, Sahika Pano, Bahelaula, step into that river. Aka takata, barade dagafuna, zazayano, heila, heila, sahi, pekakano, baragagina, zazela huna ta, gadis kakato, peragatina sozana. Thank you, Father. My God. In this week, a strange door will open to you. If the devil prospers man, if the devil will dare to tell Jesus, I will give you the riches of the whole world. Hear me. Nothing is too good for you. In the name of Jesus, step into the best seasons of your life. I command doors open to you. Mare. Most of you have visions, but the power to start it is not there. In the name of Jesus, receive the power to start. Receive the grace to start. Receive the capacity to start. I open up that vision. I start up that company. I start up that business. I start up that investment. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
has redefined our vision of life and reprogrammed our thought about ourselves. God is about to deliver somebody from that monthly stipend that you receive, from that monthly figure that has reprogrammed you. Let me tell you, I'm not just talking. We are in the last days. There's about to be a global shift, and one of the scepters that will be wielded in the church is the scepter of wealth. Somebody met me receiving salary of about 900,000 naira, and when I looked at the CV, I said, no, you are undervalued. You have to shift from here. In less than 2 weeks, the person received a business offer, and they were offering $10,000 in a month, and he said, no, I will take $15,000. Why yet talking about that? Another national company reached out to the person and said, listen, we want to employ you as senior manager, but having spoken to you and seen your CV, he said, please, we will offer you the position of a general manager. Let me tell you, you are bigger than what the world makes you feel. In the name of Jesus, every dead capacity, I speak by prophecy, awake now. Step into your full measure. Step into your full measure. Thank you, Father. How do you think the kingdom will advance if 99% of the church citizens are beggars? How? Have you contemplated the occult realm? The pride in money. Money that they waste, not having anything eternal to achieve. And then we come to church. The era of poverty has been rolled away. The reproach of poverty over your life, it breaks now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Please sit down. God. Oh my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Isaiah said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me. He said, we are for signs and wonders. I decree over you the mark that makes a wonder. Receive it now. Please sit down. I have less than 35 minutes. We just need to calm down. Let me teach something. Somebody will live here hating poverty as much as he hates sin. They are all the works of the devil. All of them are the works of the devil. We are not just here to make you live holy. The Lord is as interested in making you wealthy and powerful as He is in making you holy. Because the same price that was paid for your sin is the same price paid for your poverty. He said Christ, rich as He was, became poor that you, through His poverty, will be made rich. The mark of poverty over your life breaks tonight. There's an energy. I'm just caught in between two. There's an energy. God is urgent upon lifting people. Lifting people. I hear in the spirit, they say, I, the Lord, I lift the beggar from the dunghill. I establish him among princes that they may inherit thrones.
In the name of Jesus, receive your crown from tonight. Receive your crown from tonight. Receive your crown from tonight. It's a month of prosperity, and so prosper.
Thank you, Father. Please be seated. I need to teach. The original plan of God for man was prosperity. Prosperity of the soul, prosperity of the body, and prosperity of the spirit. But you see, like we already understand from the previous teachings, when the ordinance is broken and violated, the grace can no longer flow. And the devil understands this perfectly. And so when God created the man, in order to reveal to him a prototype, please help him, to reveal to him a prototype of what he wanted, before the man ever began serving God, God created a garden where all his needs were met, and he planted him there. The Bible says in Genesis 2:15-17, it said God planted a garden on the east side of Eden, and he said he put the man there. So the man was not created to lack anything. But the devil knew that there was a way of overturning what God had created. And the way of overturning what God has created is the way of rebellion. And so what the devil did was to come and persuade the man to turn against the Lord. And so in Genesis 3 from verse 1 to 5, he came into this man's abode and began asking him questions. Does God really say? That's the problem of not having exact knowledge. Does God, or did God really say? And the man allowed the devil to teach him the way of rebellion. The moment rebellion was introduced into the equation, the law that God gave to prevent man from wealth was activated, is the law of debt. He said in Genesis 2:17, the day you shall eat of this fruit, the day you choose the path of rebellion, you shall surely die. And debt in the New Testament means two things. Number one, it is separation from God. And so when the man died, he was detached from the commonwealth of Zion. Remember when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation." Now, there were three things Jesus itemized there. Number one, he called God Father. The word Father is the word fundus. It means God is your foundation. God is your supplier. Your job is not your supplier. Your business is not your supplier. God is our source. That's why he's called Father. Number two, he said our source is in heaven, not on earth. That's why we don't depend on nature to survive. Our resources and our survival come from another dimension. And then number three, he said, give us this day our daily bread. That means we call forth our resources from that dimension. When man died, he was disconnected from his source. He was disconnected from the realm of his sustenance. And he lost the right to call forth resources from there. So debt ejected man into poverty. When man was connected to God, he was connected to Father. He was connected to the realm of supply, and he had the right to call forth supply from that realm. When he died, he was separated from that realm. So that separation becomes the foundation of his poverty. Number two, debt is corruption. Because when the man was like God, anything he called, the Bible said that was what it was. That means the man had enough power to recreate, to refine,
to reprogram, to redesign.
Because whatever he calls it, that man can carry a piece of metal and say, this is air, this is car, it becomes a car. That man can carry a piece of stick and say, this is a flying object, it becomes. So the innovative power that gives wealth was resident with that man. But when he died, those propensities also began to diminish. And it keeps diminishing completely because death had entered him. And so one of the main things that keeps men in poverty is debt. And that debt is what? Separation and corruption. So when God wants to prosper you, what God will insist on doing is to reconnect you back to your source. And when God wants to prosper you, what God will insist on doing is to reorder your DNA so that you begin to function from the class of God. Because the reason you became poor is because you were truncated and your nature was altered. So when God wants to reestablish you, he reconnects you and he redefines, reorders your nature. So the cure to prosperity that is caused by debt, it is that thing God does that creates reconnection and reprogramming of your nature. And when you study the Bible, you will discover that what God uses to address this matter is blood. There can be no reconnection with God apart from blood. Listen, the reason every time a man wants to get prosperity from a spirit, he must use something called blood, is because of what blood represents in the realm of God. There's no spirit that prospers a man without blood. Every time a man attempts to enter into prosperity, blood must be brought into the equation. And because I don't have time, I will just show you two things about blood. Number one, the mystery of blood. And number two, how to administer blood in order to engender prosperity. Because the cure of death is blood. Three things about blood. I call it the mystery of blood. Number one, blood covers. When a spirit looks at you, he doesn't just see your body. When a spirit looks at you, he looks at your essence. And it's on the strength of your essence that the spirit will bless you or reject you. Remember, when God rejected Eliab, he said, man looks on the outward. He said, I, the Lord, look at the heart. So when a spirit looks at you, he's weighing you to find out why you qualify. And when he found David, David was the one that won the heart of God. So a spirit looks at you beyond your outward. So if you have any blemish, remember, I said that is what? Corruption. If you have any blemish, the only way you can prevent a spirit from seeing that blemish, which will constitute to your rejection, is when the blood covers you. And so one of the things that makes blood potent in the spirit is that blood covers. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the Bible said when God wanted to drive the man out of the garden, he knew that he was going to come back to interact with this man. And so the only thing God could do was to kill an animal and clothe the man with that animal. And the Bible said that man wore that clothing and God began to speak to him. So the first thing about blood that makes blood a legal tender in the spirit for generating prosperity is that blood covers. If not, the same God that should prosper you will kill you. If you approach him with blemish, he will kill you. And so if a man does not enter the covenant of blood with God, God can never prosper him. Number two thing about blood is that blood speaks. When you approach a spirit, you may think your eloquence is what convinces him. There are many things that speak louder in the spirit than your tongue. In fact, if you are not careful, your tongue will cause you to violate protocol. Because your tongue speaks based on the fact you have in your head. You need a resource that is ancient than your senses. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah stood, Peter spoke out of tone. He said, let us make three temples. Who told you they are talking temples here? The law and the prophet is submitting to the kingdom. They are about to abolish two things. You are saying we should build temple because his brain is limited. But when blood speaks, Blood speaks in the courts of heaven. The registers that blood uses to alter its frequency is from Zion. And so if you study Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, it said when Cain killed Abel, God came to him. He was not aware what happened. He was not a party to what happened. But he said, the voice of the blood of thy brother is crying to me from the ground. Because blood is not a liquid. Blood is a legal tender in the spirit. Every blood speaks. And he said, the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So while the blood of Abel speaks vengeance, there's another blood that speaks your prosperity. There's another blood that speaks your redemption. There's another blood that speaks your forgiveness. This is why before God prospers a man, he must understand the administration of blood. Because it is the utterance of blood that will determine whether you prosper or not. If blood is not speaking on your account, if you like, kneel down and pray all your life, you will go nowhere. Because the first thing God will hear is the utterance of the blood. If the utterance of the blood is not there, your own utterance will count for nothing. The third thing about blood is that life is in the blood. In Leviticus 17 verse 11 and 14, it said the life of the flesh is in the blood. That means when blood is presented, captured in that blood is an aggregation of everything life represents. And so when a spirit wants to prosper you, he's finding out the life force that you brought as an offering. And so if you don't have sufficient offering in his realm, you cannot provoke a reality to come from that realm. So every time God wants to prosper, he must see blood. He must see blood. If God does not see blood, he can't prosper you. This is why blood becomes the basis for engendering the prosperity of the believer. And finally, blood is a weapon. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 11, it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Because when God prospers you, another spirit can come to negate it. So the blood that you present in the spirit is not just an offering to God. It's also a testimony of warfare in your favor. If a man does not have blood to tender in the spirit, that man will be poor for a long time. He will be poor for a long time. And so when God wants to begin to prosper you, he will teach you the business of blood. Without blood, the spirit cannot prosper. There are many believers who come to God with their talent. They come to God with their efforts. They come to God seeking sympathy. If God will help you because he has sympathy, then God is wicked. Do you know how many billion people are crying every day? Who are dying? Do you think God is insensitive to them? And it is this your cry that will trigger sympathy. There are many people today who have been beheaded. They have been maimed. They have been killed. Have you not gone to different cities where they just pick dead bodies on the street? Do you think these people didn't cry to God? You think these people didn't weep? When they caught them, do you know the fear that was in their heart? Have you been caught by a ritualist before? Or have you been in a place where they are fighting war? Me, I've experienced them before. If you go to where they are fighting war, your heart will want to jump out of your mouth. If there's any prayer you know, you will pray there. I assure you. The first time I experienced war, we were young. They killed some soldiers. And those days were in Benue State. And they sent military from headquarters to level Zakibian. The people that ran from Zakibian to Kasinala, if you see the people coming, your heart will cut. The car that took us to escape from Kasinala was a Peugeot. This car carried 14 people. You don't know what. This journey was about 4 hours. We didn't notice. Some people sat in the car like this for 4 hours. They didn't feel any pain. It's when we came to safety that we now discovered that, our waist. Because the fear that was on us, you will not know pain. There are things that, see, you know, there are different volumes in the spirit realm. Fear is louder than pain. Some people sat like this for 4 hours. 14 people in a car that is a six-seater. Meanwhile, the driver's seat is already taken. But that day, the driver sat. Somebody sat across the gear. The driver was driving like this. As you are driving, you see children. Some fell on the road and died. Some carried their load on their head, trekking. If you don't have a car in that day, that's why you are woed if you are a child in the day of war. You say, Rachel was weeping for her children. They were not. Don't be a child in the day of war. That's why you need to grow. But the point I'm making is, compassion, pity is not enough. Sometimes you will need a legal tender. Because if it is based on pity, I assure you, as we are seated here now, over 4 billion people are begging God now. Some are at the point of death. As we are talking now, there are people who are being kidnapped, waiting for death. As we are talking now, there are people who are being hijacked by ritualists. Yesterday, they saw somebody's body part butchered. As they are here, they are waiting, hoping. Of the application of blood has a definite thing it does, and the first thing that blood administers does is exemption. It exempts you from debt, it exempts you from destruction, and it exempts you from poverty and brings you into your inheritance. And that was what God taught Moses. He said, Moses killed the lamb, and he said, he administered the blood to the doorpost of every house, so that when the angel of death passes, he will pass over those houses. So when blood is in motion, the first way blood prospers is that blood creates exemption. So what every other person goes through, you don't go through, and you don't know how. If all of us go through everything, even if we come out victorious, we lose so much. It's not every fight you fight. It's not every condition you go through. So when a blood is used, or when blood is used to exempt you, the way blood works its protocol is that it removes you from the equation. It can happen to everybody, not you. Everybody can go through the situation, not you. Everybody can be a victim, not you. Not because you did anything special, but because blood is uttering its oracles. The reason many are poor is because there are many battles that they are fighting. The reason many are poor is because there are many circumstances they are giving their all to. There are many people that spend all their money repairing things, fighting battles, and they never have enough to invest. And so what blood does is that it reduces your warfare by creating a protocol of exemption. But the way this kind of blood operation happens is when it is smeared. And how do you smear the blood over yourself? Is by the words of scripture. When we are speaking and eating scripture, we are not just talking. We are actually administering the blood over ourselves. The way people see you and see the blood is when the finished works of Christ becomes your reality. If the finished works of Christ is not your reality, the blood cannot be seen on you. I show you another scripture.
In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, hear what the Bible says. Quickly, I don't have time. It said, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. How do you get into salvation? By the blood. It's by accepting and self-administering what the finished work says he has done concerning you. Many people never carry the consciousness of what Jesus has done, and never do they speak it over themselves. That's why they never administer the blood. Listen, administration of the blood is not saying I sprinkle the blood. How do they even say? I plead the blood. That's not how you administer blood. Which blood are you pleading? Where did you see it in the scripture that is done that way? The first way to administer the blood is to take what he says and take what he has done and make it your personal reality. That's why I said that the communication of your faith, Philemon 1:6, will become effectual by the acknowledging of everything that he has put in you. If you want to administer the blood, is to take the finished works of Christ and make it your personal possession. If you study Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 12 to verse 14, you are going to see how the Bible teaches us to administer divine things. It said, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can we get the scripture quickly? I'm trying to cut a lot of corners. Or is it 1 John chapter 5 verse 12 to 14? It said, I have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He didn't necessarily say you should repeat what he has said. He said you should take what he has said and make it your possession. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say you too say, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you say that, that is an echo. If he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you jump up and say, the Lord is my helper. That's how you administer the blood. So if he comes and says, by his stripes you were healed, you wake up and say, sickness has no rule over me. I am a ruler over sickness. If he says, Christ, rich as he was, became poor so that you might become rich, you will stand up and say, I lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Many believers don't know how to administer the blood. Some of them don't even have the consciousness of what he has done, and some of them never say it. And there are some who has the consciousness, but they are only echoing what he has said. He didn't say you should echo. He said you should apply. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not for you to say, I will never leave you nor so forsake you, but for you to now say, the Lord is my helper. Every time you say that, you are awakening the covenant of the cross. Because when he died on the cross, everything that belonged to God, he transferred it to you. And so when you see the Bible and it said, by his stripes you were healed, you don't go out and say, by his stripes I was healed. You stand up and say, I have victory over sickness. I rule over sickness. I have dominion over sickness. Why? You are applying the blood. You apply the blood by appropriating what he has done. And there are many things he's done. He has said that rich as he was, he became weak. He became poor that you may become rich. What do you say? Oh boy, money no day. Bro, times are hard though. How much I get to give you? How much you get? My money don't finish. Fee what? I don't have cash on me, but I'm wealthy. I'm loaded. I'm full of money. I'm full of wealth. I can sponsor visions. That's how people speak and they administer the blood. When God sees that you are now speaking from the premise of the price that was paid on the cross, then the blood speaks on your account. You are already administering the blood. Many times we speak fear, we speak defeat, and for some who know the Bible, they echo what the Bible is saying. The Bible didn't say you should echo what he said. It said you should administer what he said. If God said you are the head and not the tail, the next time you go out, you say, I'm leading the world, I'm taking over, I'm changing. Don't come and echo that you are the head. It is already written. Everybody that read the Bible saw it. How do you now make it your possession? What is in the Bible is for all of us. But what you convert is what is yours. And so I'm not dragging what is in the Bible with everybody. I went to look at the Bible to change my story. And so when I looked at the Bible, it said, as he is, so are you in this world. I just come out, I say, I'm not a failure. I am a success. Everything I do prospers because as he is, so am I. So I'm talking because he said, as he is, so am I. So I'm not necessarily echoing that as he is, so am I. If you say that, you are quoting a verse of Bible. But when you show up and you said, I am more than a conqueror, I'm taking over the world, everything Christ is, that's what I represent. You are administering the blood. You are not just quoting a scripture. You are activating a technology. Many don't know how to administer the blood. The way to administer the blood is to take the finished works and turn it to your possession. Somebody will leave this class tonight, and when you look at the scripture, you will not be reading to remember. That is good, but that's kindergarten. When you look at the scripture, you are reading to fire. That's why I said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. It is your testimony that appropriates the blood. Instead of saying things are not working in Nigeria, tell yourself, I'm more than a champion. I'm the light of the world. Everywhere I go, things I walk, things work. Whatsoever I do, they prosper. Be appropriating. Our believers are religious. When there are problems, they say, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Wake up. Did you see any apostle of old plead the blood like that? Paul said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that is in me. I do not frustrate the grace of God in me. That's why Paul said, I labor more than them all. That's why Paul stood up and said, as he is, so am I. What you are reading in the New Testament are people appropriating what he did. And so when you read it, you go and appropriate in your own life. That's how you put the blood to work. When you do that, you are releasing the power of the covenant. The power of the covenant is waiting for your tongue to quicken it. So don't cram scripture and recite. That is good for kindergarten. When you mature, you get scripture and apply. And so when you start a walk, tell yourself, this walk is the best in town. This walk will change this world. This walk, because that one is not in the Bible, that is yours. If you are quoting the one in the Bible, many people can contest it with you. Take it out of the scripture and turn it to yours. That's how you appropriate the blood. You appropriate the blood by the words of your testimony. Many people recite Bible and they come back and prophesy evil over their business. They stand up, they read what the Bible says, but the moment they go to their office, they say, when will things start working in this country? The moment they get to their family, they say, we don't die. Oh, what is happening? And so that activity of reciting scriptures becomes religion. The way you appropriate the blood is by your testimony. Check what he says and convert it to your personal resource. If he say you are the head, as you wake up, make noise. Shout it loud. And be unapologetic about it. When the devil knows that you have understood how to appropriate, he becomes afraid of you. Because when you appropriate scriptures, they become weapons. When you appropriate scripture, they become activators of divine realities. Most people are not appropriating the blood. That's why many people are pleading the blood, pleading the blood, pleading the blood, but they don't have the consciousness of the finished works, and they are not declaring the finished works over their lives and their circumstances. This is the aspect of prosperity, that you will participate with the Holy Spirit, because it's waiting for what you will say to act. The angels are waiting for what you will say to act. The business is not pulling through. Don't echo that. They say, whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. So don't come back and say, whatsoever I do, it shall prosper. This oil business, in the name of Jesus, you are prospering. That's you appropriating. This banking job, you are prospering. You make it personal. That's how you appropriate the blood. Many believers have the best weapon against debt, but they are not appropriating it. This is why you need to understand the gospel. This is why you need to think the gospel, and this is why you need to speak the gospel. See how God works. You are saying, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. He sees that you don't know much, but your faith is being released. For a season, he will answer you. But see the problem with walking without understanding. When you start growing, God will stop answering. Because God will want you to come to maturity.
Because what he's doing with you is not just to answer prayers. It's to make you become. Did you see Jesus quote any scripture the way the prophets wrote it? Jesus did the scripture. The writers came to say, this thing he's doing is because Isaiah said so. The Bible said that himself took away our infirmities. Jesus didn't show up and say, I'm the one that took away the infirmities. The Bible said when the evening was come, he said he went out into all the cities and villages and they brought all that were sick and he healed them all. It was the writer that said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmity. Jesus didn't come to echo scriptures. He came to administer them. And so you too are not called to echo. You are called to administer. So everything the Bible says you are, you take it and personalize it. When you start operating like that, the blood becomes your weapon. That's why he said they overcame. They overcame. He said there shall be none barren. Don't come start saying there shall be none barren. There shall be none barren. Tell yourself, I am fruitful. I give birth to kings and queens. That's how you administer it. The problem we have most of the time is a problem of ignorance. That's why I say my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Is it good to remember scriptures? Yes. Is it good to quote scripture? Yes. But the power is not in the quoting. The power is in the faithful administration. And many are not administering. That's why the covenant of the blood is not speaking on their account. Number two, how do you apply the blood? Matthew 26, 27 and 28. He said, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. He said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. And he went further to say, as often as you do this, you remember my death. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26, this is how Paul administered it. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He said, and he gave thanks and broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he went further in verse 25. He said, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. He said, do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And Paul added something. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, he said, you proclaim the Lord's death. So the second way to administer the blood is by breaking bread and by supping the cup. How many of you have broken bread this month? How many of you have supped the cup this month? Paul said, as often as you do this, he said, you proclaim the Lord's death. So one of the ways to administer the blood and to activate everything the blood has to offer is at the communion table. It is called the doctrine of interpenetration. When you do it, you become one with God. The heritage becomes your possession. Jesus says to do this often. Paul said to do this often. The reason many are victims is because they are not breaking the bread and they are not drinking the cup. He said when you break the bread, he said your body will no longer be broken. He said when you drink of the cup, you provoke the fullness of the weight of the new covenant. The reason the new covenant in which prosperity is a part of is not working in your life is because you are not breaking the bread and you are not drinking the cup. This is why some of our Orthodox churches, in order to help and make sure everybody participates in it, they do it periodically. Because they know that believers will be irresponsible towards this operation. And the reason most of us in the Pentecostal circle don't do it is because we don't do it collectively as a house, neither do we do it as a people. A priest in the Roman Catholic Church breaks bread and drinks the blood every day. A priest, either when he's celebrating Mass or when he's alone. And Revelation chapter 1 verse 6
Say he has made us kings and priests unto God. This is why one of the most prosperous spiritual organizations in the world is the Catholic Church. They don't ask anybody twice for money. They don't beg anybody for money. The Catholic Church, they think like rulers. They can go to a village and leave the market where everybody gather. They will go to something that looks like a forest, buy the whole land. They know who they are. Come back in 15 years, the place they settle becomes heart of the town. There is something they know that makes them prosper regardless of territory. One of those things is the mystery of the blood. Every time you break bread and sup the cup, you are activating the power of the New Testament. In the first case, you may be deficient because you don't know the gospel. And so you may only administer what you know. In the second case, both the ones you know and the ones you don't know, you administer all of them. Because this is the covenant in his blood, the covenant of the New Testament. And so when you break bread, you are activating healing. When you break bread, you are activating transformation. When you break bread, you are activating warfare. When you break bread, you are activating every mystery that is in the New Testament. And so when people want to prosper, even in their family, they have the ceremony there. The father comes, sits down, and breaks bread. How do you do it? Number one, you are a believer. And number two, give thanks. The way he did it was to give thanks and to break it. So if you are a believer and you give thanks, you are able to do this. Those days when we were in the Catholic background, they taught us, because they wanted people to be careful in handling these things because they are sacred. If I bless the cup and we drink and it's remaining, that is not wine. That has become the blood of Jesus. If I bless the biscuit or the bread, unleavened bread now, and I eat and it's remaining, that is no longer bread. So many times the reason some of the Orthodox churches converted it to a sacred operation, it's called the covenant of the Eucharist, is because they know that people don't discern it, so they will abuse it. In fact, in this same scripture, Paul said, for this cause many are sick, many are weak, not discerning the Lord's body. Because this thing you are dealing with is a mystery. It's powerful enough to make you, and if defied, it can break you. And so if it is that powerful, then your prosperity is not a question. But many times, believers never engage this covenant that Jesus gave to the church, either corporately or at family level or individually, whereas they are priests. Those days, one of the things they taught us in the Catholic background was what they call the sacrament of the last order. So if somebody is about to die, if you can find a priest, get the priest quickly to come and administer communion. Because they know the power of the blood. The blood covers. The blood makes atonement. The blood is a weapon of warfare, and the blood carries life. And in a situation where you don't find a priest, anybody who is baptized and has done first holy communion has the power to administer last order, because they knew the significance of this. You want to know why the Catholic Church is so prosperous? It's because they understand the mystery of the Eucharist. The reason most of us struggle is because we don't know the place of the blood. If you know how to administer this, you will say, I plead the blood less, and you will break bread more often. You will sup the cup more often, and you will see how miraculously your life will begin to move forward. This dimension activates the power of the new covenant. The first dimension activates exemption. This second dimension activates the power of the new covenant. I know your business is failing. I know there is bad luck. I know there is near success syndrome. With revelation, begin to break bread and sup the cup and see what happens to your life in 3 months. That's when you will understand the power of the blood. The blood of Jesus is not a religious instrument. It's a strategic advantage for the body of Christ. And as a corporate people, one of the things we'll do in order to bring everyone into prosperity is to understand this covenant
and to consciously and consistently practice it. You will see how hardship, bad luck, evil can break out of your life. The problem most times is that either it is not practiced or it is practiced without consciousness and faith. People just throw and then they just collect and drink and go away. No. Faith and consciousness is what releases this power. So it's not just for you to practice. It's with faith and with consciousness. I tell you this. If we know the things that are available to us in Christ, none of us will be poor. None of us will be defeated. None of us will be weak. None of us will be a victim. There are too many advantages to the believer for him to be a victim. And so I speak over you this night. Every force that has limited you, before this week is over, they begin to bow to you. In the name of Jesus. Most of you, you've come to that point in life where you are telling yourself, I don't know what to do anymore. I've done everything. No, you haven't. If you do everything, the results will show. Paul said, give thyself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may be made manifest to all. I'm persuaded that the profiting of someone is about to become visible. In the name of Jesus, step into your glorious era. How do you administer the blood? By proclaiming everything he died for you to become. As you step out of here, in addition to that work you do for 8 hours every day, begin to search what he has done for you. Begin to search what he says you are. And as you are doing that job, simultaneously interject what he has done for you. And see the way he will alight on that job to change your story. It does not take God anything to change you, but it takes your cooperation for God to be able to change you. As you walk out of this place tonight, step into your realm of abundance. Some of us think the devil is our problem. No. The devil is far from being our problem. Our mindsets and our confession is our problem. Don't allow society mentor you on what to say. I was sharing with them the other day. I saw a minister of the gospel singing and doing like this. I said, what is that? They say, it's a trend. It choked me. What is it choke me? We don't know the manipulation of spirits. They use celebrities and superstars to saturate the environment with nonsense. And we gullibly pick those things and enslave ourselves. What do you mean it choke me? You that should be a fountain of life. You that should proclaim that out of your belly, rivers of living waters are flowing. You are saying, choke me. And then you are hoping that you will say it and still come and prosper. Don't speak the nonsense of society. Don't allow it stain your soul. Don't allow it corrupt your utterance. And don't allow it alter your manifestation. There are too many things said in scripture. And there are too many things done by Christ that we should think on and say. He said, think on these things. He said, let your mind be on these things. Whatever is pure, whatever has virtue, whatever is full of love, whatever is full of peace, whatever prospers. He said, think on these things. And you don't only think. He said, speak those things only. That's why I said, let no one in Zion say I'm sick. Is this denial of fact? No. But this is appropriation of what he has done for you already. Do it long enough, you'll be shocked the outcome of your life. Somebody came to the Lord and said, I'm tired. I've been laboring for the kingdom. There are no people to help me. Lord, I want to die.
And Jesus told the person, it's too late for you to want to die. He said, you have spoken too much life to die. You have spoken too much life to be able to die. You can't wake up every day prophesying prosperity, prophesying wellness, prophesying abundance, and the devil can sneak death into your environment. See, that's why some of us, we are careful. I've choked myself with too much virtue, and I've communicated too much to be intimidated by a demon. See, sometimes I dream, I wake up, I'm about to go for a meeting, and I'm not saying do this. Maybe I shouldn't say it. I will dream and wake up, I'm about to go for a meeting to take a territory for Jesus. And then I will dream and see myself in a coffin. I will wake up and say, well, you came late. Since I'm the one seeing the coffin, that means I'm not the one there. A dead man doesn't see himself. The devil can't give me prayer points. I have prophesied too many things from scripture. He said, we have not received cunningly devised fables. He said, we were witnesses of these things when he was crowned with excellent majesty. And he said, with all of those visions we saw, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That means the word of God is superior to your encounter. The word of God is superior to the visions you saw. And so if it does not align with the word, to hell with that vision. The word of God said, I shall live and proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The word of God said, because he lives, I shall live also. I have no time praying over a vision. The devil wasted his time. But it's because I know something. Saturate your life. Guard your life with so much for the devil not to have space. Every space the devil has taken from your life, in the name of Jesus, we block those gates. And everything Jesus died for you to become, as you step out of this door, you become in the name of Jesus. Didn't you read? He said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. He said, they that love it shall eat of it thereof. As you walk out of this place, eat of life only. Eat of life only. Eat of life only. In the name of Jesus. Don't let your culture or the things your ancestors believed to change your life in the negative direction. You didn't come from your ancestors. You came from the resurrection. Your past ended on the cross, and your new began from the resurrection. That's why I say, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. You don't belong to your ancestors. And so in the name of Jesus, walk in the fullness of the resurrection power. And as much as is within your powers, break bread. There's a mystery locked there. Break bread. Take the bread. Give him thanks. Break it and eat. Take the cup. Give him thanks. Drink it. And see how your life will begin to change. The early church did this so much that one of the battles they fought was the fact that they said they were drinkers of blood. In the time of Emperor Diocletian, and the way they fought the church was that they said these people drink blood. They were so conscious of the communion that they never gathered without communion. That's why I said daily they went from house to house breaking bread. They broke it from house to house. So if you visit a brother those days, he doesn't give you pounded yam with semo. If you visit a brother, he say welcome. He goes to his chef, brings the bread and brings the wine, and then they will leave the bread. Father, thank you because your body was broken for us, therefore ours will not be broken. They will break bread and eat, and they will take the cup, and when they serve, they will lift it up and say, thank you Father, for this is the blood of the new covenant. They will drink it together before they begin to talk. He said from house to house they broke bread. From today, from house to house, begin to break bread, and your prosperity will overflow in the name of Jesus. The Lord keep you.
The Lord bless you. Cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. You're going out and you're coming in is blessed. All the days of your life walk in abundance. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Listen. We are dismissing. Be careful what you allow somebody feed you with. When you visit your friend, and instead of feeding you with the word of life, or feeding you with the bread and the wine, and he starts feeding you with gossip, shut your appetite and walk away. If they start feeding you with bitterness, shut your appetite. Even if the person is a pastor in a church, don't let people feed you with nonsense. If somebody has a battle, let him fight it. They shouldn't corrupt your soul with nonsense. Don't allow people digest in your soul bitterness, envy, wickedness, and evil. The early church, they fed themselves with prayer. They fed themselves with the word. They fed themselves with bread and wine. The Bible said they prayed. They shared the word of God and they broke bread. That was all they did. No wonder I said there was none among them that lack. There was so much love that those who had much, so much, brought the proceeds for it to be shared. There will be no one among us that will lack. The power of lack is broken in the name of Jesus. As you depart from here, step into a pleasant surprise. Step into a prosperous encounter. Step into a season of harvest. Jesus said somebody else has labored. He said you have entered the harvest. It's not every harvest that we labor for. In the name of Jesus, step into the harvest now. Step into the harvest now. In Jesus' name. See you on Monday. God bless you.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.